إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on lessons from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us as he showed the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a nuswatun hasana, as the best kind of life and example to follow for all of us. The point that I want to remind myself and you today is the special ta'alluq that Ibrahim alayhi salam had with his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Obviously, every Nabi has a ta'alluq with Allah. But the ta'alluq of Ibrahim alayhi salam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very special. And to me, the incident which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates about Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, and even more than the incident, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related that incident is an example of the kind of ta'alluq, the kind of connection, the kind of relationship that Ibrahim alayhi salam had with his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he says that Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his Rabb, قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي, my Rabb. He did not say, Ya Rabbal Alameen. He said, My Rabbi, Arini Kaifa Tuhi Al-Mawta. Show me, how do you give life to the dead? Now just think about this. This is not a question of glorifying talking about the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not even ibadah in the classical sense of submitting yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a conversation with somebody, the wilaya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the, for want of a better word, the way it's translated is, wali is translated as friend, but we must always maintain the adab of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. There is no friendship with Allah as in the normal sense of friendship of equality between human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and everyone else is makhluk. But keeping that adab in mind, this is a conversation between friends. You know, tell me, how do you do this thing? It's a normal conversation. Ibrahim alayhi salam is talking to Allah. And he says, just show me, how do you do this? And see the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Allah says, you don't believe? You think I can't do it? Just the relationship. Allah, show me, you know. Allah says, you don't believe? And then Ibrahim alayhi salam said, قَالَ بَلَى. No, of course I believe. Of course I believe. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But show me this so I have itminan of the qalb. Now, this is showing also another aspect of humanity, which is that one is to believe because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and inshallah we have this belief. But the other one is to work towards that in a way where we see this. And the seeing can be in many, many different ways. I mean, this is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He shows us. And of course, the rest of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have caused something to die in front of Ibrahim alayhi salam and raised it up. But this is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to show His qudrat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again with the adab of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, you know, I like to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to show off. Why else do you have a different sunrise every day? Why else do you have a different sunset every day? Why else is the leaf, when the leaves change color, it's the same tree. But every leaf is a different color. Why? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing off. Why is the structure of every snowflake different? What is the need? What is the need? It's ajeeb. My brother was telling me, he went to Alaska once and there was a conference and there was this famous photographer who's taken some phenomenal photographs of Alaska. And he said this man did this entire presentation of photograph after photograph, absolutely mind-blowing beauty. And then he made, his speech was one sentence. He said, every day, God puts all of this here and He doesn't care whether you see it or not. Ajeeb. I don't exactly believe that Allah doesn't care in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the signs so that we recognize Him. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam says, show me how do you give life to the dead? As I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made it simple. You know, maybe one of Ibrahim alayhi salam's sheep could have dropped dead and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have brought it back to life. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His ways. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِّنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْعًا ثُمَّ دُعْهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا وَعَلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, now you want to see how I bring things back to life? So take four birds, make them into, you know, sort of, make them friends, make friends with them, make them into pets. So they respond to you when you call them, they come to you and so on and so forth. Now Allah is making him work. Allah starts, you want to see? All right, so do some work. Go find four birds. Do that. Then he says, then you slaughter them, cut them into pieces, mix it all up. Then just take four, make into four portions. So now each portion has got parts of, you know, each bird. Take it to four different hills. Hey, go some, do some work. You want to see how I do? So go do some work. Not close by. Go to some hill, one hill here, one hill there. Go climb those hills. Put one lump of that, you know, bird meat here and another lump on the other hill. And after you finish doing all of that, go back to where you were standing. Now call them and they will all come. Not some new bird with four different parts, but the same birds, all those parts on all those four different hills, and you can try and imagine, you know, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it. Do they all, I don't know what, they fly through the air? Allah's khudrat of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do that, you call them, and they will come to you. So not only are the birds alive, but the birds still remember Ibrahim alayhi salam, the birds don't feel bad about the fact that you chopped them up and all of that, you know, alhamdulillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, know that Allah is almighty and all-wise. Wa'alam. Now here, Allah is not saying believe. Allah is saying no. There is a difference between believing and knowing. Big difference. There's a difference between iman and yaqeen. Iman is to believe. And inshallah we believe. But yaqeen is to know without a doubt. Is to know without a doubt. And the difference between iman and yaqeen, for example, if you ask me, do you know that Hartford has an airport? I say, yes. Are you sure? I say, yeah. How do you know? I have been here before. I traveled there and so on. So you say, well, so what are you going to do about it? I say, nothing. Do what? Hartford has an airport, so Hartford has an airport. Do what? But if you ask me the same question 2 days from now or 3 days from now, I will give you a whole plan. I will say, I'm going to leave here at this time and I have my suitcases packed and I've got to be at the airport at this time because I know I'm going. So there's a difference between iman and yaqeen. Yaqeen produces results. Yaqeen produces action. I remember the first time this thing struck me was we were in Maine and we were going for a walk, you know, that long walk around near the house. So we were going for a walk and all these houses, they have these big houses and the houses have boards saying, beware of dog, all of them. So they all have dogs. So I thought to myself that now I look at this board and I say, all right, beware of dog. So I know there is a dog. So I have iman in the fact that there is a dog in this house and must be a dangerous dog, otherwise they wouldn't put this thing saying beware of dog. So this is a dangerous dog. Then I said, well, imagine now I come in front of the gate. And when I come in front of the gate, I find that the gate is not completely shut. It's partially open. And when I get in front of that open space, I suddenly see this huge, massive Rottweiler, which is sitting there. And he looks at me, and I look at him, and he stands up. And when he stands up, I see that there's no chain, he's not secured in any way, and the dog starts towards me. So now, the amount of knowledge I have has not increased. The same knowledge. There is a dangerous dog. Maybe I even knew that there was that dangerous dog was a Rottweiler. That's about it. So the amount of knowledge has not increased. But the nature of that knowledge has changed completely. That knowledge changed from iman to yaqeen. Why? Because now when I see that dog coming towards me, what do I do? I start reciting, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, because I know I'm going to die. So, you know, die with this. Right? Or take some action, you know, run like hell or climb a tree or shut the gate or, you know, pull out a gun or whatever. I mean, my point is that at this point where this iman changes to yaqeen, action happens. We do something about it. And this is the nature of the relationship that Ibrahim alayhi salam had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam's nature with in a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was a relationship which was so close that he could talk to his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And that's what I remind myself and you, is that we, to get there, we have to work. This doesn't happen just by itself. To get there, we have to work. And when we work in ways which are apparently not even very important. For example, one of the things I remember about my father was that we used to live in a place which was quite far from the masjid. So we used to go for Jummah, and once in a while we would go to, you know, one of the salawat, but usually we would pray at home. But we would always pray by Jama'ah. So I would call the Adhan, my father would lead Salah, then we would pray behind him. And my father prayed Tahajjud without missing it. I mean, I remember at least for 40, 45 years that I remember, he never missed Tahajjud even one day. Alhamdulillah. But whenever he prayed, whether it was Tahajjud or whether it was Sunnah or whatever, he would go and dress up to pray. Now, dress up, I don't mean he was wearing a sherwani or a suit or something, but he would not pray in his, like, you know, India is a hot place, so usually you wear a pajama and a banyan or something. He wouldn't pray in that. He would go and put on a kurta or something. Now, it's not even an issue of, you know, satar being visible or something, because, you know, for a man, between the navel and below the knees is satar. So if your knees get exposed in salah, your salah is invalid. You have to repeat your salah. So it's like that. Even having knees exposed, even normally, without salah, is haram. It is not permissible. So, it's not talking about that. I'm talking about, in any case, my father would wear pajama. So, the question of, knees being exposed wasn't there. The question, his thing was, I am going before Allah. So, I must look good. I must wear proper clothes. I will not go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway I am. Although it is not haram to do that, as long as your satar is not exposed, if your satar gets exposed, it's different, but if your satar is not exposed, fine. But for him, it was not. He said, no, I'm going before Allah, I must go in a proper way. Right? Now, I'm saying that it's apparently a simple thing, apparently not very important, but this is where the issue of building a relationship comes. Relationships get built because you do that which is not important, within quotes. It doesn't get built because you are doing the necessary things, right? You want to show affection to your wife. You don't show affection by buying for 10 kilograms of rice and bringing it home and saying, "Oh, you know, I bought some rice today." No, you go buy flowers. Unnecessary. I mean, you might say, "What's the good of giving flowers? Or try giving a bunch of bananas and see if it has the same effect." You know, it's good for you, a lot of potassium and whatnot, you know, what's the use of flowers? You know, here's a bunch of bananas. You get affection, you build a relationship by doing that which is not required, by doing that which is not necessary, by calling somebody when you don't need to call them, by going and visiting someone when you don't need to do that, by doing that which is within, as I said, within quotes, we have to understand that which is not necessary. With employees, I worked for many years with some of the toughest labor unions in the world, with communist, Marxist unions. And in Guyana and in India, 16 years I worked with the toughest, and I learned all my human relations with that. Hostile to the extent of people were killed in my position. Alhamdulillah, nobody ever touched me, nobody ever cursed me. And the reason for that is all that I used to do when there was no conflict. And I wasn't doing that to impress anybody. I just did that because, you know, I'm a nice guy. But I did that because this is required. I would go and sit with their children. I'd play with their children. I'd, you know, play basketball with them. I mean, volleyball with them. I'd go look in their house and see, you know, what do you need. All of this stuff which you do, none of which was part of my job description, none of which was something which anyone would give me any medals for. But because I did that, in times of conflict, this came in my favor. People said, no. This guy is, you know, you can't do anything to him. Leave him. We go find somebody else. Now, this is the issue of building relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, do that which is, within quotes, not required, which is the nawafil. And that is why the hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my slave comes close to me by the nawafil that he does. He comes close to me by the fara'id, and then by the nawafil which he does, until I become the hand by which he holds. So, that whole hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that I become the hand by which he holds, I become the eyes by which he sees, the ears by which he hears, and so on and so forth. And the feet by which he walks. By what? By the nawafil. By doing the extra. So whether it is dhikr, adhkar, whether it is tahajjud, whether it is nawafil, whether it is sadaqat, over and above zakat. Salah, fard salah, zakat, these are the boundaries of Islam. If you deliberately leave a fard salah, then whether you are a Muslim or not, we don't know. If you deliberately refuse to pay zakat, then you are out of Islam. These are things which are boundaries, boundary conditions. You don't get medals for doing, you know, boundary condition things. You get rewards for doing that which is, within quotes, not required. The extras. So what are the extras? And this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam's whole life was, extras. And so Allah gave him the darajat. And we see the relationship of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, this conversation, this talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. And that's the thing which I remind myself and you, my Shaykh used to say, okay, talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, you talk to me. Why do you talk to me? Because you think I understand you. Who understands you better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, whatever it is. Ya Allah, there's traffic. Please, I need to go. Ya Allah, move this. Where am I going to get parking? Ya Allah, get me some parking. It's like this. I'm every day. Ya Allah, I'm cooking some food. What shall I put in it? I sometimes remember my Shaykh used to say, in tahajjud, he used to say, and I tell people also this, when you stand in tahajjud, you stand and say, Allahu Akbar, read Surah Al-Fatiha because that is the rukun of salah. Then say, Allah, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? And don't worry about the fact that you are not Hafiz Quran. If Allah wants you to recite a surah which you don't know, He will make you recite. And that's why I tell people that don't be surprised to hear yourself reciting a surah which you know you didn't know. It will come to you, inshallah. May Allah give you this experience of actually reciting Quran that you never learned. I never memorized this. How is it I'm reciting it? Because Allah is making you do it. My Shaykh used to say, think of a flute. This is a Bansuri bolte, ne? Think of a flute. What is a flute? A flute is a tube with some holes in it. That's it. It's a bamboo tube with holes in it. There's nothing in a flute. You look in a flute, it's empty. What is the tune of the flute? The tune of the flute is what the flute player makes. So he blows on one end, and when he puts his finger on a particular hole, a certain sound comes out, and he puts his finger on another hole, another sound comes out. So he used to say, become the flute in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blow the tune, what he wants, whatever he wants to come out from there. A flute which is blocked is a useless flute. Don't put yourself inside it. Your ego, your nafs, your ananiyat, empty flute. Ya Allah, what do you want? What do you want? I want whatever you want. Rida bil qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, we talk about that tomorrow. But today I'm saying that the relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Ibrahim alayhi salam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based on this ta'aluk for which he worked. And that is why we need to work on this relationship. And that's the final point I want to say, because today in our conversation and everything else, whenever we talk about development, we talk about careers, we talk about business, we talk about this, we talk about that, but we never talk about spiritual development. We never talk about what is your plan for your spiritual development. What is your investment for your spiritual development? How much of time are you planning to invest in this year in your spiritual development? How much of money are you planning to invest in this year in spiritual development? Today, the moment we talk about young people, we say, well, which college are you going to go to? Who are the teachers? Which sheikh are you going to go to? Which ustad? What are you going to learn? I'm not talking about, I'm not even talking about learning in terms of fiqh, because that's the first focus we think. Immediately we go to masail. I'm not saying masail, I'm saying yourself, development of yourself, your own heart, your own, qalb. What is the plan for this? If somebody says, this weekend there is a class, we say, oh, but you know, I've got to do this something at this weekend. Now, whatever you have to do is dunya. And we think it is perfectly normal and acceptable. We say, yeah, okay, well, you know, he got this work, he's got this class, he's got this business deal that he has to do. Nobody says, put that aside, go to that class, which is a class on religion, which is a class on your, to develop yourself in spiritually, because that is more important than this. We don't say this. If somebody says that, you think you're crazy. What do you mean? I've got a business deal to do. You're telling me leave the business deal and come and listen to some, khutbah or something? No. But what did the Sahaba do? The Sahaba did the opposite. They did the opposite. That's why they got the results. So the point I'm saying is the rules have not changed. The rules are the same. Except that we don't play by the rules and therefore we get disqualified instead of winning the game. So very, very important for us to keep this in mind and put our spiritual development, put our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the number one critical point of life and make everything else revolve around that. Because if the choice today, if I have to say that I got up today and if I am to die today, will I die with tahajjud or without tahajjud? That depends on whether I prayed tahajjud. Which one would I like? What would I like to have? Because if I prayed tahajjud and I made tawbah, inshallah, I have faith in my Rabb that my Rabb has forgiven me. But if I didn't wake up for tahajjud, and if I die today, then I die without tahajjud. And this was a choice. This was a choice that was given to me. Do you want to wake up with tahajjud or without tahajjud? And that's very important for us, therefore, to think about this, the lesson from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that if you want to build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like you want to build a connection with anybody in this world, you have to make an effort. And that effort has to be more than what you normally do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand this and to give us the joy of making this effort so that the effort does not become a burden for us. And that will happen if we understand the value of this effort and the value of what we will get as a result of the effort. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ